I probably quoted more from this passage of Scripture than any other in Scripture. And the passage is beginning in Hebrews 10. And Hebrews 10, verse 10. And it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Sanctification is something that a work that God does that I think sometimes we get a little sideways on and misunderstand. And but to put it simply, sanctification is being made, being separated and made holy, perfected by God to be an instrument for God's use only. And it's God's work. He does the work. The title of our message, our lesson this morning, is Separate and Holy. Separate and Holy. Now this work of sanctification, hear me, this work of sanctification is the work of the triune God. It's not anything that we do. It's not even the believer to do this. This is God's work. I want to start here, and I want to point out some things. I believe they bear out here in the context of what we've been studying in the 9th and 10th chapter. God the Father sanctified every believer in eternal election. God set apart a people for His holy use. And His divine decree, by His divine decree, we are separated unto Him by His gracious choice. That's what Jude said in Jude 1:1. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father." In chapter 9, we looked at the vessels that were used there. Back there in chapter 9 and verse 2, there was a tabernacle made. In the first room there was candlestick, a table, and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacles, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. These things were separated by God to be used for nothing else but the worship of God. That's what they were separated for. And that's a type and an illustration of sanctification of a believer. When God sets them apart, they're not to be used for anything else, but they're to be used for His service. These vessels were not to be taken out of that place. They were not to be used in a common way. He sanctified these vessels. This is a type of how He sanctified us. You and I, believer, who trust the Lord, we're set apart for no other use than to serve our God. That's what sanctification is about. That's what God chose His people for, is to serve Him, to worship Him, to give our lives to the furtherance of this gospel, of His word, for the edification of His people, and for the calling out of His sheep. God chose to set apart a people, and He chose to call out that people through a people He sanctified. And so that's in our bodies are to be used for no other reason. These vessels are for no other purpose than that, to serve Him, period. That's it. And so, secondly, I want you to see here that God the Son sanctified His vessels of mercy when He perfected us by His one offering on the cross. That's what our text says here in Hebrews 10:10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, by His one offering. Verse 14 says, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that God set apart and gave to Him. That word perfected means to be made complete, to be all that was lacking in us was filled up, made complete, made whole by Christ, by what He accomplished for His people. You're complete in Him, Paul told the Colossians. The word is in the perfect tense, that word perfected. And the Greek and English perfect tense describes an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past once for all time, not needing to be repeated again. It's done. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He did it. He made God's chosen vessels of mercy perfect. He made them perfectly holy before God. He completed us in holiness. And the context declares that. In Hebrews 9, the blood here, we've looked last time at Hebrews, in Hebrews 10 there, but the blood of those animal sacrifices, they were never intended. It was never God's purpose that those sacrifices would purge anybody of sin. That was never their purpose. And those priests that were chosen, they were vessels set apart too. He chose the tribe of Levi. And from the tribe of Levi, He chose the house of Aaron. And they were to be used for nothing else either. But those priests never made anything perfect by their offering. It was never intended for that reason. They were set forth to show us an illustration of how Christ sanctifies us. It's by His righteousness that we're justified and sanctified. Now, I want you to see here with me that what was used in that temple, in that tabernacle in the wilderness, what was used to... God separated those vessels for His use. But something had to be done to those vessels. First thing that was done is some blood was shed. Blood was shed. Because if they're going to be purged, it's got to be through blood. It's got to be through life being laid down on their behalf to purge them, to sanctify them. Now look here with me, Hebrews 9:22. This is what this whole passage is leading up to here to teach us about what Christ accomplished. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now look at Hebrews 10 and verse 4. Those sacrifices were never intended to put away sin, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now look at verse 10. By the which, by that will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. It's done. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this God man, the Son of God in human flesh, this man, after He had offered one sacrifice, not a multitude of sacrifices, one sacrifice, for sins, not for His own sin, for our sin, for the sins of those that God sanctified in Him. And for our sins, He's perfect. He's the spotless Lamb. He's that perfect, spotless Lamb of God. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb that John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." This is the Lamb that John beheld in the midst of the throne. This is God's Lamb. This is the one Abraham told Isaac. He said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." This is God in human flesh, the Lamb. God providing his son, the Lamb, for sins, an offering, his offering. And when he offered it, he sat down on the right hand of God. That's what you do when you finish working. Your dad comes home from working, or your mom comes home from working, a long day at work, and their job's finished, and they sit down. They're done. They're finished. That's what Christ did. When he finished this work, he sat down. "And from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." His enemies, those that hate the gospel, they're going to be made to bow and confess that he is Lord. That he is holy, and in him is all holiness. And brethren, we were enemies in our mind by wicked works. We didn't like God, but we conquered too. We brought down to his feet, to his footstool, to bow to him and say, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" So all his enemies are going to be brought to bow before him. "For by one offering," here's why, it has to be, "for by that one offering that he offered, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." He did what none of the priests could do, what none of the sacrifices could do. And blood was shed in that law. Blood was shed. A lamb was brought and blood was shed. And that blood was the blood that purged those vessels. And those priests in that tabernacle that made them accepted of God, perfect before God. So we're sanctified by God the Father in eternal election. We're sanctified by the Son of God when he perfected us forever by his one offering, through that one offering. Well, something else had to be done with that blood, though. Something else was done with that blood. And this is where we see this illustration of God the Holy Spirit sanctifying these holy vessels, his people, in the new birth, in regeneration. Our perfect sanctification not only involves God doing something for us, it not only involves Christ doing something on our behalf, but this involves God doing something in us as well. We've got to be brought into a union with our sanctification, with Christ our Saint. He's got to be made unto us sanctification. If we're going to behold where our holiness is, we got to be united with him. Now those vessels, they were separated, set apart for God's use and for God's use only. And then they brought a lamb, and they took that innocent lamb, spotless lamb, which was a picture of Christ, and they killed that lamb. That's what you do with a sacrifice. You kill it. It's an offering. And they killed it. And then they took that blood, and they took it and they sprinkled it on all those vessels that God had set apart. And they sprinkled it on the priest that God had set apart. That's what has to be done for us to be brought into this holiness, to be brought into this complete separation, and to be made holy for God's holy use. What God, we won't see that God sanctified us in his decree of election until we're brought in to see it. We won't see that Christ is all our sanctification by his one offering until we're brought to see it. And this, the Spirit of grace brings us to see this through the Word and through faith. And these are given in Scripture too as being a part of this sanctification through the Word and through faith that's in Christ. Now, look over there at Hebrews 9:18. Were these priests perfect of themselves? No. But because God had separated them, and because a spotless lamb was slain in their place, and because they were washed in the blood, in God's sight, they were perfect. They were perfectly holy. And that That's a type of sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Look here, Hebrews 9:18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." That's what happens when the Spirit comes and creates life within us, when we're regenerated and this new nature is created that was not there. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. We've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've got to be created anew in spirit to be able to worship Him. And He has to do that. And this is what He does when He does that. This blood is sprinkled, and He says in our heart, "This is the blood of the testament, His testament, which God hath enjoined unto you." He said, "I'll make a new covenant with them. I will, and they shall. Their sins I'll remember no more." Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood's no remission. Our passage speaks of the conscience being purged, of there being a new, no remembrance anymore. The remembrance now is that sin's put away. But we got to have our conscience purged from dead works, from thinking we can put them away, from thinking that we somehow can sanctify ourselves. We have to have our conscience purged to understand that God's all our sanctification. Christ is all our sanctification. It's through the Spirit of God that we're sanctified, not anything I did. Look, Titus 3. Look over at Titus, to the left there, the book right before Hebrews, Titus 3, verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's a description of every sinner who's sanctified by the Spirit of God. What's going to make the difference? How are we going to be brought into this union with our God the Father and God the Son? "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This is what I'm talking about. That sprinkling of that blood is the washing. That blood and that water, that's the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit within us with Christ's blood, through Christ's blood, that makes us created anew, that gives us this new life, that makes us behold Christ is all. He is truly everything. And when the Spirit of God does this, as I said, He gives us a mind. He purges the mind. He gives us an understanding that we can truly spiritually comprehend, spiritually understand God's Word. Now we see what God is saying in His Word. Before we couldn't. We were deceived. We hear God's law now. Before we couldn't. Sin took occasion by the commandment, deceived me. My sin deceived me. The law didn't deceive me. My sin deceived me. Made me think I could do something to perfect myself by the law. But when the commandment came, when God came in the power of the Holy Spirit and I was washed in regeneration and renewed by the Holy Spirit, the commandment came and sin revived. It became alive to me. I saw it. And all my righteousnesses, everything, I died. So, that's what we're seeing here in Hebrews 10:15. look here with me. And faith is in this thing. Faith comes in this thing, and it's through this work of the Holy Spirit. And we believe, we trust God, we trust Christ, our sanctification. Look here at Hebrews 10:15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'm going to enjoin my testimony, my testament, with them, unto them. I'm going to put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. No more offering for sin. There's no sense, brethren, listen to me. There's no way, no part whatsoever in which the sanctification of the believer is in any way bound up in the believer, that he's something he does by his works. It depends upon and is totally accomplished fully by the work of our holy God, our triune God. We grow in grace, but not holiness. We grow in knowledge and understanding, but not righteousness. We grow in maturity and patience and long-suffering and these things, but we don't grow any more perfected than perfected. We don't grow any more sanctified than sanctified. We are sanctified forever through His one offering. And it's because God put us in Him, He made that offering. And because God put us in Him and He made that offering, Christ applies the blood of that offering. And we see we're complete. We see that we're perfected forever. And there's rejoicing then. Well, I want to give you a verse of Scripture. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want you to see every bit of this in one verse. I said we're sanctified by God the Father, sanctified by the Son of God through His one offering, His holiness. We're sanctified by God the Holy Spirit in regeneration. We're sanctified, made to see what His Word says through His Word, and by Him giving us faith, we're sanctified by faith that's in Him, in Christ. Now look here, two verses tell us all this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's of God, are you in Christ Jesus. And this is through sanctification of the Spirit. Christ has to be made unto us something. And that's done through the Holy Spirit. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And belief. We believe, don't we? Trust that He's our sanctification. We just believe anything? No, belief of the truth. The gospel. Whereunto He called you by our gospel, by His word. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's this glory, this perfect standing, this holiness, this righteousness of God. Where is it? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Through faith, through His Word, He brought us unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I got one more question for you. How does a sanctified person serve God? How does one who's sanctified serve God? Let me make something clear to you, and you listen now. We don't serve God and become sanctified thereby. The fruit of having been sanctified by our gracious God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we serve God. Is that you got that? We don't serve Him to be sanctified. The fruit of having been sanctified by Him is we serve him. That's what Paul said. He said, "When I want you to be turning to Romans 12. But Paul said, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we're delivered from the law." I'm reading Romans 7. I'm just quoting this to you while you turn to Romans 12. That sin in our members, they work fruit unto death. But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, now we should serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. What fruit had you then in those things, whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, works by the law. But now we're made free from sin, and we become servants to God, and you have your fruit unto holiness, unto sanctification, unto Him who is our holiness and our sanctification. He's our ruler. He's our reigner. He reigned. He's conquered us. And our fruit now is unto Him. It's not to make us sanctified, because we are sanctified. You see that? Well, look here with me. Romans 12, 1. I want to read all of this here down to verse 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God? What is it to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? It's to not be conformed to this world. It's to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who renewed us? The Holy Spirit did. He renewed us. He washed us. And through that, brethren, now we're sanctified. We're set apart for His use. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to bondage. Don't go to looking at these things that we do and say, this is my holiness. Oh, it's not. Christ is my holiness. I do these things because He is my holiness. He is my sanctification. He set me apart for His use. And what He set apart is going to be used for His use. By His irresistible grace, it's going to be used for His use. And here's what it is. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether you've been given a gift of prophecy, then let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, engage yourself in teaching. Or he that exhorteth, only exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation." We're not hypocritical in this thing. If we're doing this thing because we think these things is what makes us holy, that's hypocrisy. That's dissimulation. "Abhor that which is evil." I abhor that. "And cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and this, brethren, is serving the Lord." This is serving the Lord. This is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. This is what's serving God. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and given to hospitality." Now, brethren, that's the use that God has separated His people for. That's serving Him. That's what serving Him is. And our whole life now, if the blood's been purged your conscience, and you see Christ is He's been made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's your all, and you glory in Him alone. And brethren, let's don't give ourselves for any other thing. When we start giving ourselves to trying to get more of this world, just for the sake of consuming it upon our lusts, when we go out and we're worried and brought down and travail because we want our way, that's not serving God. Serving God is whatever it is we want, whatever it is that He gives us, use it for His glory, to glorify this holy name whereby you've been made holy and perfected. And use these things because God's going to use you and me that He sanctified. He's going to use us for this use to call out His sheep, those others that He sanctified. And He's going to do it through His word, and He's going to do it in a place like this right here. And this is why He called us out. This is our purpose while we're here making our journey through this wilderness, is for this purpose. Any other endeavor we're engaged in, if our motive for it is not unto Him, to serve Him for His good, or for our good, for the edification of His people and the glory of His name, it's from a wrong motive. He set us apart for His use, so let's be used of Him. Let's be spent. Let's spend and be spent for His sake. That's what it is to be sanctified, brethren. And it's just like every other blessing, like all spiritual blessings, it's in Christ. So I hope that clears that up a little bit. It was a blessing to me to study it, so I hope it was to you too.